B-Pod Studios.
With us in studio.
And, sitting right next to us.
And welcoming him back to the show. He was with us a few years back. From 1960 to 1962 was the drummer for the Beatles. He is Pete Best.
He's a Beatle.
I want to talk about Pete, those days in Hamburg. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the bands over there would just kill to have a drummer. Everybody was playing guitar and stuff. Drummers were a tough commodity.
Well, good drummers.
And your mom had a club.
The Casbah.
You played the drums. Mm-hmm. They knew you from several years back, and you knew them. And they say to you, let's go to Hamburg. Describe to me and Haney and our audience, young kids from Liverpool going to Hamburg.
How young?
17, 18?
Yeah.
Wow.
Going into these clubs, what was your first reaction?
Well, let's just paint the picture. We first trip over, we went there by ferry and van. So when we reached the top of the Reeperbahn, which is a double-sided road with neon lights right the way down, and full of clubs, strippers, strip joints, bars, ladies of virtue.
Boys and talent.
Yep. And then we turned into the Grosser Freiheit. And again, there were strip joints and all the other bits and pieces we've just mentioned, and landed up outside the Kaiserkeller, which we thought was going to be the first club we were going to play. And Derry and the seniors who were from Liverpool were the first band over there. We could hear them playing.
Right.
Right, so we dashed downstairs. Scene was absolutely incredible. Nothing like it in Liverpool. For want of a better expression, birds, booze, and more birds.
Right? That was it.
The three Bs.
And there you are, 17, 18 years old, 19. This is like, oh, yeah.
And it was just like a culture shock, right? But it was one of those things. It was like, wow, we're here. This is Hamburg. We're rock and rollers. Let's just play. And then we met Bruno Koschmider, who was the club owner, and he turned around and said, you're not playing the Kaiserkeller, right? So we said, okay, you know, where are we playing? He led us 200 yards down the road, no lights, dismal, no people. And we went into a club called the Indra, two people there, arguing over the price of a beer. Mm. And he turned around and said, this is where the Beatles will play. And that was what we did. We had to turn that. That was our challenge. We had to turn that into another Kaiserkeller.
So you went from the one club that was filled with birds to this one place where you're lucky if you get a crusty old bint.
Haney, that's one way of putting it. That's one way of putting it. Right.
Now let me ask you, because you're teenage. Tell me the story. And I guess it was the first time that you were in Hamburg. George Harrison was too young, and you guys got kicked out.
Yep.
And you guys were told, go home.
Well, what happened was, George, for a long time, because, you know, Alan Williams, who was the manager at that time, smuggled us into Hamburg. We didn't have the right paperwork. And they found out that George was underage, because at that time, and I think it still happens now, up till 10 o'clock at night, anyone who was under 18 had to go home. Simple as that. 10 o'clock, you had to go home.
Just strict curfew.
Strict curfew. Hausfeist, they used to call it. And basically what happened was, they found out that George was only 17, so they wouldn't let him play on stage. That was no good to us.
No!
Right? So we appealed, we turned around and said, please, 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 etc., etc., etc. In the end, they turned around and said, no, George has got to go. We talked it over with George. We said, look, play half the night. And he turned around and said, what the hell for? You know, he said, I'm sitting here scratching my... for the rest of the night. So he made the decision to go home himself, right? We then had the offer to go to the top 10 club because we were only four, right? Stu, George, myself, and John.
Mm-hmm. Or Paul.
Paul was still there, yeah. But no George, right? So we weren't the force that we'd made ourselves to be. We'd lost our lead guitarist, okay, our main member of the band. Had the offer to go to the top 10 club, jumped at it. We were going to be playing with Tony Sheridan, right? House musician.
Yeah.
Went back and saw Bruno Koschmider turn around and said, they're going to pay us more money at the top 10 club. To yourself, right? And off we went.
Yep. Wow.
The next night, Paul and I had to go back to our illustrious lodgings, which I was laughing about before. You know, the black holes of Calcutta, the dungeons at the back of the Bambino. We went back and there was no light. So being clean living lads, we had some condoms. And we stuck them on the wall. lit them, they exploded, gave us enough light to throw our belongings into a case, and off we went back to the Top Ten Club. Played there, everything's going along great, 6 o'clock in the morning, two German guerrillas banging on the door, turned out to be policemen. Yanked Paul and I off to the police station. We were grilled for about 3 or 4 hours, and we got told that we had been charged with trying to burn the Bambino down. Okay. and basically turned around and said, what the hell's going on, right? From there, we turned around, we got told we were going to be deported, right? And we thought, okay, what does that mean? And they turned around and said, you want to be sent home, right? What we didn't realise, they then took us from the police station to Hamburg prison, the main jail in Hamburg.
Right? Good Lord. But just you and Paul?
Just me and Paul, right? We were the bad guys.
Yeah.
We thought this was the end of our days. You know, Paul and I are going to be rotting in a Hamburg prison. No one knows where we are.
Won't find you.
Right. Boom. Stayed there for about 3 or 4 hours. Police came, stuck us on a plane and got us back to Liverpool. Right. We got back to Liverpool. We appealed. Right. Finally got it all cleared up. So the deportation was lifted. But as Paul and I have turned around and said for many, many years, and even today, you know, how the hell can you burn a concrete cinema down with a couple of condoms? You can't, can you?
It can't work.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a great story. And that's one of those things you'll have with you that memory the rest of your life.
Smell of burning rubber. Now, the safety message is, kids.
I got to ask you on a serious note about that time. Of course, Stuart Sutcliffe died young and tragic of a brain hemorrhage. He decided to stay behind in Germany when you guys went back to Liverpool. I've read in numerous books, and maybe you were there, they associated his death with maybe a fight that occurred outside one of the clubs where you guys had to fight some people, and he took a kick to the head and said he was okay, but then shortly after he died. Do you remember this fight that possibly cost him his life?
It got twisted a little bit, Stan. There was a fight. John and I pitched in and saved him, okay, but he didn't get a kick to the head or anything like that. No, that's something which, you know, Beatle mythology has taken over. You know, and people who've written books have jumped on that idea that, you know, he died of a brain hemorrhage, so tracked it back to the fact that he'd had a fight and sort of turned around and said he picked up his injury there.
Right.
He didn't. Okay.
So it's true there was a fight, but you don't think that had anything to do with him?
No, passing away. No.
So out of the Beatles, were you and John the enforcers if there was trouble?
We were most probably the first to actually get involved.
First call.
And I asked you about this last time, and you've been asked this a million times, but there's a little caveat I want to throw into this. It's the mystery of how did you get fired from the Beatles?
By the way,
and
folks,
who did it?
We're talking to Pete Best.
Yep. And, of course, Brian Epstein had you guys by that point in time, mm-hmm. and the story goes that you were in his office, and he told you that you were going to be let go in place of Ringo, who you guys knew. I mean, he was with Rory Storm and the Hurricanes.
Yeah. I've known him at the Casbah.
Yeah.
Known him in Germany.
True or false, as Brian Epstein is telling you, mm-hmm. we're going with Ringo on this. Is it true that while you're sitting there, the phone rings and it's Paul McCartney calling Brian Epstein saying, does he know yet? Did you do it? Did you do it? Did you do it yet?
That's true. Yeah. He turned around and said, no, I've got Pete with me. Call me back.
Did he give you any explanation? Or
the only reason, Amy, that he gave at that time, and he, for want of a better expression, he turned around and said, the lads want you out, okay? Right. So that is, you know, whether it was one person who pursued it, two, three, he alluded to the royal we, okay? That's mm-hmm. the way it was presented. So it was the lads want you out. The reason that was given was that I wasn't a good enough drummer. Now, even though I was shell-shocked, right? Mm. It still didn't make any sense.
Because you know that's not true.
Yeah.
There are three versions of Love Me Do. There's the studio one where George Martin said, there's going to be a session drummer. There's the one where Ringo played the drums. And there's a third version with you on drums. And I'll be
the years that we've been on the air, we put them side by side.
Yeah, cannot tell the difference.
There's no doubt that he certainly wasn't let go because of his lack of ability.
No. You were probably, at the time, the most popular Beatle.
I can see that.
And And when Ringo had to do his first gig at the Cavern Club, the band got beat up a little bit.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah,
because there's pictures that I've seen in a book of George Harrison with one big black eye because the audience was upset. Where's Pete Best?
Yeah, there was a lot of fan fury. I think the shouts for Ringo and Ever Pete Forever while the Granada broadcast was, you know, being filmed. There's footage of that. But consequently, as a result of that, George was coming out the Cavern, and someone stuck one on him. So that's why you see the picture of him with the black eye. And for many, many weeks afterwards, Brian Epstein, that's our bodyguards. He was getting physically threatened, you know, by fans in the street, going into the shops, you know, threatening they're going to dust him over. So for a period of time, there was reaction in the streets, banners, you know, Pete Forever, Ringo Never. There was a lot of crowd fury. And it was lovely to see the fan reaction, the loyalty from them. But regardless of what they did, they couldn't change you. You know, it was the cornerstone of being set. It was heartwarming for me to see the, you know, tremendous loyalty coming from them and the agony that they were putting the Beatles through.
You are no longer a Beatle. Now, obviously, Paul is probably not going to be the one. But did anyone have the guts to stand up and go, I'm sorry, here's what happened, Pete?
Not face-to-face, Amy. But talking about John before, years afterwards, I think he was the only one who openly admitted, he turned around and said, I should have been more upright at Pete's dismissal. I should have stood his corner, spoken out a lot more for him. And out of all of the Beatles, he's the only one who's ever said that, right? And he backed that up by turning around and saying, the best music we ever played was when we were playing the clubs in Germany and Hamburg.
I'm Casey Kasem on Casey's Top 40. Now we're up to our request and dedication. This letter's about devotion and disappointment. It comes to us from a man named Rod. Here's what he writes. Dear Casey, I'm a truck driver, and as I'm writing this, I'm 600 miles from my home and the woman I love, my ex-wife, Sean. I want so much for us to be together again, but Sean says she doesn't love me anymore. I became a truck driver to get away for a while. I've become very lonely out here, and sometimes I just want to give up. Sean tells me to find someone new and fall in love. But all of the love I have inside of me is for her. Sean also tells me, because we're divorced, it's not right for me to love her and do things for her like write her letters, buy her flowers, and send her cards. But I just can't stop, because I love my ex-wife more than I should. Dedicated to Sean in Ohio from Rod on the road somewhere in the U.S. Thank you. Rod, here's your request and dedication.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on now. Listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good, it makes the Pope
want to sing. Go fill out to the beaches, people, laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Management of Beasley Broadcasting would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station. We'd like to, but we won't. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for all the dedication. I'm not joking about this. We're in the studio right now, and I am so glad we're in the studio, because over where our offices are, nobody seems to care, at least because it's not affecting the front office and management. The air conditioner finally gave way. They're in the process of ordering a new one. Just to let you know.
In the process of ordering. We haven't ordered yet. Yes. We're in the process.
Broadcast House, this facility, has four air conditioning units. One for back here, one for up front, one to cool the equipment down, and one that goes into the back offices where we are. And so Thursday... They always yell at me. You know how we like to keep it cool.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize that it was going out, but I did see multiple engineers and air conditioning guys, hands on hips, looking at it.
I get yelled at all the time because the ladies in the office get chilly. Few of the guys, we know who they are. They get a little chilly. And
they wear hoodies and stuff in the middle of summer, yeah.
And they want to keep the thermostat like in the upper 70s back there, and I'm dying. So I'll come, because we have a corner office, and the sun comes in from both ways, so it gets a little warm in there.
Because you really wanted that office.
Yeah. My bad. So I knock it down to a tolerable, it's still too hot for me, but a tolerable 75 degrees. It's still too hot. But then they start bitching and complaining. So on Thursday, I'm in the office and I'm going, Jesus Christ, I'm dying in here. What the heck?
Yeah, you know, come to think about it, thank God with the studios, the windows we do have are occluded and at an angle. And
so I look at the thermostat, the thing's sitting at 80. And I'm like, wait a second.
That's worthless.
I'm going to knock this thing down. Well, I looked at it and... See, people around here, they don't care what makes the AC work. They just want it cool. So they're all knocking it down to like 71 degrees because for some reason 80's too hot. Well, it's because the air conditioner unit wasn't working. So the chief engineer, I guess, called somebody on Friday when they finally got around to doing it. And then on Friday, and Haney saw this too. a lot of people out there standing with their hands on their hips. You know, looking at it. Yeah.
Well, the way I'd put it, Stan, is I saw an entire parking lot full of chiefs and not one Indian.
Correct.
Are you allowed to say that anymore?
No, but I know what you're talking about. You know, my mom always used to say, I should have given you back to the Indians.
Well, they don't say that anymore, do they?
No, I don't know.
Because that would be inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. I'm just saying that's
what it was.
That
would be saying there would be something wrong with your mom handing you over to a tribe.
So I get in today thinking, okay, it was Thursday it happened. Friday, the hands on the hips. Weekend goes, come back into work, should be good. So I come back in here, and I open up the door to our office, and it may as well be the sauna at the Y. It's, what the? And I'm looking at the thermostat, 81. And I'm like,
all you're missing is a ladle.
Are we going to get this taken care of? And I was told by a member of management, start getting used to wearing tank tops and shorts to work.
helpful.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Because it's going to be a while. It's going to have to go through all.
Because we're in the process now of ordering.
Nobody's bitching about 75 degrees. I'm talking 80. You know what? I'm going to make a statement right now.
Oh, geez. We're not starting out the week like this, are we? Because you were on edge last week.
Yeah, I'm going to prevent it today. Any texter. Here's the rule. I'm going to make a new rule. With the exception of anybody slamming Dave. Anybody that criticizes this show, criticizes the content of this show, or just wants to bitch because they're basically miserable people themselves, will be blocked from ever texting again. We want constructive.
It seems extreme.
Yeah, because we're going to lose half our texters. But I want it. I want it. It's over with. Any negative comments. And that goes for you, not paying attention, 20, last two digits, texter 20, 75 degrees, fine.
You're starting
81,
to sound
not.
Like that old AM show where he'd threaten people by the last
Wasn't
four digits
great?
Of their phone
Wasn't
number.
He great? Yeah. He was great. So, you know what? That's that. Here's a couple of quick things I want to tell you before we got a busy day today. We've got coming up in about 35, 40 minutes, a name from sports past locally. It's been 5 years since Ernie Hartlieb played for the Florida Everblades. His number is in the rafters at Hertz Arena for the years of service he added to the Everblades wins.
Yeah, he goes back far enough where he was one of the guys that I was around all the time.
He came out of retirement this weekend at the age of 39. He's going to be 40 next month. Scored a goal for the Everblades. He can't even wear his original number 9 because that's retired. He had to wear a different number. So he'll be joining us.
Well, I mean, why is that surprising?
What do you mean?
Ernie Hartlieb, very skilled,
yes, sir,
hockey player.
And at 40, he can still play. He proved it.
And you throw him out there against, you know, maybe they got a couple of vets there, but basically a couple of kids. He's going to skate circles around him
for
a while.
He'll be coming on. We're going to give you a chance to win today. This is a new game. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank.
And you, of all people, should know that. Because you saw a certain gentleman in Hartford.
Oh, Gordie Howe.
And how old was he?
He was 52.
You got a ways to go, Ernie.
And then we got the Wayback Machine. Bunch of new prizes this week, so stay tuned.
Yeah, when Ernie talked to us, when you got a starting line that consists of you and your sons.
Yep, then you can talk. All right? Xfinity. Looking for fast, reliable internet? Well, look no further. With Xfinity XFi, you get the ultimate speed, coverage, control you need to enjoy the best in-home Wi-Fi experience.
That means having the kind of internet that can keep up with the connected devices in your home, even when everyone's online at the same time.
And when you need the kids to put down their phones and tablets for dinner, Xfinity can help with that too. A simple tap on the XFi app, and just like that, you've paused your in-home Wi-Fi and brought the family together.
Just another way Xfinity makes life simple, easy, awesome.
Get started with a special offer on Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. You'll get the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with great coverage throughout your home. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store today to learn more.
Requires eco bill and auto pay. Offer ends 3/21/19. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Limited to performance starter internet equipment. Taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Then why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, yeah?
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Ernie Hartlieb. Oh, yes, the Ernie Hartlieb, Florida Everblades legend. Going to be on in about 30 minutes.
You know, you have to
retired number.
I realized something over the weekend.
What?
You have to be very careful in dealing with your inner circle, the people that are, you know, closest to you, which you would be in my inner circle.
Yeah.
But we don't talk much. So you have to be careful because things have changed so much that I was told over the weekend, I needed to, I'm sorry to bother you. I know it's the weekend and you don't take calls on the weekend, but I needed to tell you something before you found out about it on the World Wide Web.
What?
No, just a personal matter. But they felt like my feelings would be hurt if it were to just come down the pike on the regular internet news feed.
Right. Did it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, congratulations and blah, 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 blah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
Nothing major.
Yeah.
But you have to, even in your personal life, you got to beat the web for your inner circle.
Okay.
Or they'll feel like they're being slighted.
Beat the web.
Yep. Hey, listen. It's like everybody's a celebrity. Listen, this is going to come out. And I wanted you to hear it from me first.
Right, from the horse's mouth.
What do you mean? Are you doing TV and movies now? No. I'm still in the cold storage business, but it's going to come out.
It's gonna, one way or the other.
Yeah. I wanted you to know, you know, before the web takes it and runs with it, and God knows what they'll say. Everybody's a celebrity now.
Yeah, except Stan and Haney.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were never really...
Never, ever.
That is not God's plan for us.
No, it is not. And we know that for a fact.
Yeah, and we're very grateful.
Yes, yes, we are.
There was a time
I'm not fighting it.
No, there was a time I was bitter about it, but it didn't last long.
No, it's for the best.
Yeah,
grab bag.
Oh, you want everybody to know your name for about year and a half.
Yeah,
or you want to be employed for 30 years.
Yeah, well, I'll take 30 years.
You know best, Lord.
Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. I do this for Haney.
Just wanted to get out ahead of this before the internet gets hold of it, Stan.
Appreciate that. I do this for Haney, but it's for everybody on a Monday.
Motivational
Monday. Oh, no.
Motivational Monday.
Here are two words that can change your life. Don't hesitate. Go from thinking about something to actually doing it.
Me.
The 5-second rule states that you can go from
autopilot
to decision maker, from knowledge to action. You want to be happier? You want to be more productive? You want to be more successful? Every human being has about a 5-second window to go from idea to action, from procrastination to productivity. Be
amazing?
A thinking machine that feels,
I am a
not
machine.
The other way around.
What?
Motivational Monday.
No, what I do is I come up with ideas all the time, and my only job is to deliver the idea to Stan so that he can say yay or nay.
Right, and then I tell him what it will cost, how many people we need behind this.
Did you like the one I brought to you today?
Yes, I do. But you have the idea, you got to go to our producer now and see if he can do it on his own time. He'll talk to you about it.
You'll love it.
It's something that you might enjoy doing, but nobody here is going to do it. Okay, let's Dateline Texas. A grandmother who lives in Texas decided to take a vacation to Iceland.
Now, Iceland is the one that's in the middle of the Atlantic, right?
Yes.
It's supposed to be very nice, isn't it?
It's more green than Greenland.
Yeah. And Greenland is more ice than Iceland.
Correct. Well, she went walking by the ocean. La-dee-dee, la-dee-da. Grandma, by the way. She came across this big piece of ice that was shaped like a throne. And she said,
oh, I saw that, yeah.
Wouldn't it be a good
idea? Look at that. What an opportunity for a great picture.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Making memories.
I'm going to sit here on this big block ice. Well, it broke away.
Mm-hmm.
And she started floating away.
Into the North Atlantic.
Yes. Thank God there was a boat there at the right time. Here's Grandma.
It was shaped like an easy place to sit. You can tell by looking at the shape of it. And I thought, well, that looks like fun. But when I got on, it started to totter. And a wave was coming in. A very large wave came in and made the throne kind of rock. And I could tell that I was slipping off. Mm. I thought it was safe. I don't weigh very much.
Yeah.
It was a little easier to float off with
Still
me,
got
I
your
guess.
Figure.
I've always wanted to be queen. I mean, come on. That was my chance.
It did look like a throne.
Mm-hmm. I know. Luckily, someone on a boat saw it happened and rescued her.
It's a shame. I hope Iceland holds out. I don't know if they have or not, but Sweden and all these Nordic countries that you'd think would be beautiful to visit and see everything just idealized.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got blonde hair and they got, snow hotels and stuff. No, they're overrun now.
Because everybody wants to go there.
Well... It's not the people that want to go there, are your Islams.
I know.
And you know what happened just last week?
What?
I think it's like between 5 and 7 specific neighborhoods in Sweden, and they're all located within major cities where there will be no mail, no Amazon package delivered. They've informed everyone, don't bother ordering anything because we won't go to your neighborhoods because we've been robbed
too
virtually
dangerous.
Every time we've been there. And it's because they're bringing, impoverished people from all over the world, and they're forming these separate communities with their own rules where it's okay to rob UPS.
News bloopers, we do it every month. Here is, and she is, a sexy weather girl. Who inadvertently...
Now, does she know she's sexy?
Yeah, I think she was wearing a nice little dress. She said the word as a little slip. She said sex. And then she started thinking about it and started giggling about it. And then the news anchor added fire to it. And, well, here you go.
You have to be really careful out there.
You do. We've had six consecutive days of...
Okay. All right. That was a Freudian slip, but we're going to pretend like we didn't hear it.
I keep going to lose it now. Listen, it's cold outside. That's what I have to say, Tony. And it's not raining. That's the good news. Freeze warning's in effect. That's why it's so cold. Listen, it's going to be chilly. Tony, I blame you.
But the cost for her services range from $7,500 to $30,000. But it could be worth it. She has an 80% success rate.
Oh, that's pretty good. 80% success. Freudian slip. Success rate. Yikes. Hello, Internet. That's going on there. Let's just move on, shall we? Can we please move on, Reba? I'll move on here. If you're single and ready to mingle... Golly, did that go right into this next story?
Stan, you've had some experience with it,
yes.
and I've noticed it as well, just as an outsider. But it seems that people that work behind the scenes in television,
yeah.
their laughs, they cackle like hyenas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not like a normal person
no,
laughs.
Because they're all in on the joke because, look, I'm going to give you a little piece of information. You know, you ever watch the news and you see the sexy traffic girl or the news girl mm-hmm. or the weather girl, and you're saying, oh, man, how nice.
I'd like to.
Know for a fact, because there's a lot of turnover in that business. Know for a fact that everybody in some way, shape, or form is involved with somebody else there.
Mm-hmm. And they all know.
The weather girl has probably dated a reporter. The reporter has dated the news anchor. The news anchor has dated one of those cacklers behind yeah. the scenes who got spurned and starts spreading rumors about them. Mm-hmm. And they all know that it's true because they're all swapping the same spit.
So all six of them know what's going on.
Of course they do. Here's some more bloopers from the past month.
Good evening, Mike and Tamara. So, sorry.
So that's it. We're on Snow Watch again.
Oh, my kids will not be happy if we don't get a good dump.
We will. I'm sure we will. Right, that's it from us. I'll be back with an update after the news at 10. Thanks for watching.
Bye-bye.
Well, we could see wind gusts up to 50 to 60 miles per hour. High wind... Where we are tracking across the Ohio
right,
Valley
baby.
Starting Saturday night into Sunday. That high wind watch.
No one's making fun of you.
High wind watch.
You didn't have to do it three times.
We're going to be tracking that high wind watch in place as we go throughout Saturday night into your Sunday. High wind watch. You've made your point. Why is that so hard? High wind watch. I'm over it.
Yeah, obviously.
This is Haney and I know. Okay, here's the deal. Haney and I know that if you choose to wager with friends and people sometimes in the workplace.
I don't like it.
If you do.
That's my conclusion is don't do it.
Right. Well, it should be the conclusion because if you bet with friends and co-workers and all that, pay your bet. If you don't intend on paying, do not bet with friends and coworkers. In other words, if you bet on a football game with a buddy, hey, I put $20 on this that the Raiders are going to win the game tomorrow night, and they lose, you better pay the money back.
Or let's say you're
pay up your debt.
You're just so bitter and have no respect for someone else that someone says, hey, that quarterback coming out of Miami, he might be okay. I will bet you $10 million he never starts a game. You might want to be careful making a bet like that. Oh, I got no problem making that bet. And then, sure enough,
that same person,
the day comes.
Yeah. That same person put down a bet with me that said, over my dead body will Donald Trump become president. Oh, really? You want to bet?
Oh, man, I wish I could have got some of that action.
Yeah, you had to pay me $200.
Oh, and that was blood money as far as he was concerned.
It sure was.
I didn't even know you still spoke to him.
Oh, no. This goes way back. This goes way back when he was here and the primaries were going on for each party. And I said, you got Trump as your next president. Over my dead body.
I didn't even think about him in that regard. Heads must have exploded.
And so I had to remind him when on election night, and he lost his effing mind.
Did he throw money at you?
You want to know who to ask about that? Who was a fly on the wall? Christopher, right across the hall. He still can't believe what he saw. And I actually had to go to his dad and complain that of the names that I was called.
That is hilarious.
His dad said, don't worry about it. He's on the way out anyway.
And it is true.
But this guy, a 60-year-old guy in New York, failed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, he's in New York. Faked his own kidnapping last week. Why?
Why?
To avoid paying his Super Bowl Square debt. He lost. He told the cops he had been tied up in his truck and robbed. Turns out the Super Bowl Squares that he was running was a big scam. Most of the names in the pool were fake, and he was trying to take all the money. So, friends, they're coming after him. He faked his own kidnapping.
You have a man that's been abducted for 2 days at gunpoint, a large amount of money taken from him. He doesn't seem to be emotionally distraught, maybe upset about this. You know, it's almost like business as usual. You get a guy that's been in a pickup truck for 2 days, he looks relatively clean, and then you dive into his story a little bit deeper, and what you realize is all this stuff is made up.
I'm going to play one thing that has gone viral. This will be the last thing that I play in the grab bag today. That Rami Malek, the one who played Freddie Mercury.
Oh, the one that eats babies?
Yes. Rami Malek. He's getting a lot of work now.
He was Mr. Robot, and then he was Freddie Mercury, so.
Well, he's now doing a promotional video for compensation for a hotel chain. So he has to go on and tell you how great the hotel is. It is the Mandarin Oriental.
Is this trade because he likes staying there? Or?
In the promotional video, he's asked a bunch of things that he's a fan of. And when this thing was released, people that watched him do this promotional video for the Mandarin Oriental hotel chain were creeped out. He's like a stalker. He's like somebody that, really? You sound like that? This is what you like? Everybody that's seen the video and watching him do it.
Eats babies.
It's creepy.
I'm a fan of Freddie Mercury and Queen. I'm a fan of my mom. She's got my back. I'm a fan of chamomile tea. I'm a fan of handwritten letters. I'm a fan of classic movies. I'm a fan of looking sharp, regardless of the occasion. I'm a fan of random encounters. What? I'm a fan of traveling by train. I'm a fan of equal opportunities for all. I'm a fan of mischief. I'm a fan of being exactly who I want to be. I'm a fan of Mandarin Oriental.
There are memes popping out, the creepo stuff.
Well, speaking of memes, did you see what went down in West Virginia?
What?
I guess a conservative organization had a booth there by the state capitol.
Yeah.
And they had a full-size poster of a meme. And it's one of those where it's two pictures. Now, the top picture is a picture of 9/11 going on with the towers on fire. And it says, you said you'd never forget.
Yes, I did see this.
And then at the bottom is that the Somali lawmaker that just got elected.
Yeah.
I am the sign you have forgotten.
Yep.
And they all went ballistic.
Yep. She keeps popping off her mouth.
Well, her and, you know, well, Omar is her name. Mullah Omar.
Yeah.
And the other one is Representative Taliban. And they're run by AOC.
Yeah. When we come back, he came out of retirement to score a goal for the Florida Everblades.
Ernie Hartley.
Ernie Hartley going to be joining us next. Stan and Haney.
Next on Locked Up Abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated. Monday afternoon. I'm going to read to you the press release. It's a short one. And when I heard this on the sports news over the weekend, I was like, what? What the? Dateline Estero, Florida. Ernie Hartlieb scored his first scored in his first game with the Florida Everblades since the 2013-14 season. Hartlieb scored his goal in the first game in 5 years on a power play at the 13:54 mark of the third period. Coming into the zone on a rush, Hartlieb positioned himself in the slot for a pass from Nathan Perkovic and scored.
Of course he did. Do I need to introduce him, Stan?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from your Florida Everblades, number 9, Ernie Hartlieb.
Hey,
Ernie. That's how we used to do it.
Yeah, I know. He can't wear 9 anymore, though. It's in the rafters. Ernie, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, boys. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. I find out Friday night you're back in uniform with the Everblades, and you score a goal. And correct me if I'm wrong, you're about a month away from your 40th birthday.
Yeah, you're on. I got one more month, and I'm the big 4-0. So
how is that even allowed to have you out there beating up on those kids?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually got the call. Actually, it was a text message from Coach Ralph at about 9:30 in the morning, and he asked me how my legs were, and I said, "Legs are fresh, they're doing well." And he said, "Well, we got 4 guys called up, 1 guy sick, and another guy hurt. We might need you." And I saw that text, and I was chomping at the bit. I said, "Well, I'm ready." He said, "I'll let you know in an hour." So I sat in my office and did work, and just looking at my phone, waiting for that call, and I got a text message saying, "You're in. See you at the rink." So I was excited.
Now let me ask you, because you've obviously stayed in shape. You're still in good shape, but mentally, when you're sitting in your office, you get the call because a bunch of players have been called up to the A. You get the call. What's going through your head?
I want to score a goal. That's what's going through my head.
That's what always goes through his head.
You know, the funny thing is, every time when I did play hockey, you were nervous. I think it's every athlete before you play, you're a little nervous. But this time around, I wasn't nervous at all. I was excited to get out, to get back into the room with the guys to play. But more so excited that my kids were going to see me play hockey for the first time.
That's got to be cool.
Yo, you know, it was awesome. They see videos and pictures, but they never really got to see me play. They see me play men's league, but you know it's men's league. And so my wife, Miranda, she did a great job. She wasn't going to tell them that I was playing. I came home from work, no pregame nap, no pregame meal, no pregame skate. Changed, put my suit on, and the kids asked me where I was going because they knew the Everblades were playing and that we were all going to go together. And my oldest son, Hunter, was going to be at the intermission. He was going to play and shoot on Swampy. So they were wondering where I was going. I said I had to go to a work meeting, and I'll meet him at the game. But my wife, Miranda, took them down to the glass, to stay to watch warm-ups. Didn't tell him I was coming out, so we came out for warm-ups. I skated around a couple times. We didn't see him, and I smacked the glass, and then my wife got a great video, and when they realized that it was Daddy playing, the look on their face, and my oldest telling everybody, that's my dad, was precious.
It was awesome. It had to be.
That is awesome.
I got to ask you, though, when going out there and you say, oh, there's you know, not nervous, I'm going to go out and score a goal, but you go out, you have to wear a different number because when you look up in the rafters at Hertz Arena, your number's up there. Number 9 is up there, and you got to be skating around doing warm-ups and stuff and looking up and seeing your number up there. That's got to be almost surreal.
Yeah, it is really. It's pretty cool. Anytime I get a chance to go back out on the main rink, whether it's mostly with the kids and the mites and the mini mites, my kids will say, hey, Daddy, there's your number, and they'll tell everybody. And it's really cool. But being back out there skating and they gave me 36 because they said 3 + 6 = 9, obviously. and that was the number. But it was a great moment. And, you know, when I retired back in actually 2009, 2010 was my last season, I just kind of stayed, like every athlete, I see a lot of my buddies, they blow up, they get out of shape. And I always go to the gym and stay like I'm going to keep playing, and I train. And, you know, I play men's league and try to stay in shape. And waited for this moment to get the call, and I was very thankful that Coach Tad and Brad Ralph called me and allowed me to get back and play another game.
Well, anybody that's seen you play, it's obvious you love the game.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do, and just being back in the room and being on the ice, it just it gets me alive and makes me feel good.
Now, so help me along with this, because you played Friday night, you got the goal, and it got a lot of media attention. Then I look, are you off the active roster now, or are you still planning on playing?
No, I was reassigned to my Labatt Blue over 30 team after the game. Well, actually, the next morning, because you know, the Blades got guys sent back down, and you know, the roster was full. Obviously, those guys are going to play, contracted guys. But it's good to know that, hey, if they get called back up again, I'm right down the street. I don't cost much to play. And
yeah, no kidding. And we got so many guys from the old days that are still in town. Anybody besides you that could still take the ice?
Oh, yeah. Ryan Brindley, he was at the game. What was great about it is a lot of the guys that, you know, we played over 30 with, that former Blades, they all came to the game and cheered me on. And, you know, I was looking at the stands and seeing them, and they're giving me thumbs up. But there's quite a few that could, Brent McDonald, he could get up back out.
Yeah, I bet.
He can still wheel. You know, a lot of the guys, it's like a little competition with us, because you're only allowed 2 pro guys on your men's league team. So there's 6 different teams, and so all the guys are in different teams, and we have a battle. We play tonight, and it's fun. We go out after, have a couple beers, and talk about the good old days and talk how many goals we scored in Monday Night Hockey. So it's fun.
any chance we could see Lindy go out there and drop him one more time?
Oh, you know what? I'd love to see that. I have not seen Lindy. I don't think everybody knows how tough he really is.
Yeah.
He just comes off as the nicest guy in the whole wide world, and you get him out there and you get a little mean streak in him, and heads up, you don't want to be in his way, because he'll take your block off.
We're talking about Terry Lindgren, and the first time I ever saw Terry Lindgren, he was playing for the Miami Matadors.
I remember
and
them.
He kicked the entire Everblades team's ass, and then we got him the next season. It was like, yes!
Oh, yeah, Craig Brush saw him. They thought he was Swedish with his last name. They're like, oh, this is their only tough guy. Oh, this guy's going to get his bell rung. And then Brushy saw Terry just destroy whoever he was fighting.
Yeah,
he
was such a maniac, they had to take him out the Zamboni entrance when they threw him out. He was still wanting to go.
I don't know. Anything like if you know Terry, you see Terry, the firefighter now at Estero, and you see him, he's the nicest guy in the whole wide world.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Get him on the ice and heads up.
It's great to know that that you guys hang out together and have fun.
Oh yeah, it's great. We all keep in touch. It's great because all of our wives hang out. And, you know, we do once a year an alumni event where we all, you know, for the weekend we go to a hotel. We all lay out, go out, and reminisce, but we all keep in touch, and we all live right here in the community still, so we never left.
We got to figure out a way. And you said if the call comes, you're right here, and you're cheap, no contract to worry about. But we got to get you out there after April when you turn 40, And then we get you out there as Ernie Hartley 40.
Come out and score the annual goal.
Yeah. Very Gordie Howe-like. When I was a kid, I got to see Gordie Howe play when he was with Hartford, and he retired at 52. And he could – I used to joke around that he was slow and old, but once a game, he would turn the Jets on like he used to when he was young.
Yeah.
And the guy was unstoppable. And the thing is, it would be so cool for, like, at the age of 40 for you to go out. And then if we wait a few more years, then you can play like Gordie did with your son.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going as long as I can keep going, as long as my body lets me. And, you know, I enjoy it. Gordie Howe, number 9. I was born with a number 9. So it was hopefully I can keep going like he did. I don't know if I can go to, like, 70 like he did. I was actually at his game when he played for the Detroit Vipers at 70 years old.
Yeah.
I was at that game. I was a Phantom. So it was good.
What do you think logistically? Is there a chance that you're going to be asked to play again? That this season isn't done for you, and that maybe one or two more games or something?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, obviously, I don't want to see any of the guys get hurt, and I know the organization and the fans don't want to see the guys get called up. But you know, if that happens, you know, I'm here and. And I enjoy it every second, and I'd love to, like I said. So as long as my body lets me, and as long as I don't go out there and make a fool of myself, or I can contribute, I'm all game for it.
I got to ask you this one other thing, because Jeff Zito and I were talking about this when I knew that you were coming on with us today.
Yeah.
At 39, going to be 40, and you're with those kids in the locker room and getting ready to go out and play. I mean, you have to be a wealth of knowledge for them. I would certainly hope that they're not, you know, sarcastic, and that they're soaking up some information you have to give them about this game.
No, you know what? It was great. The guys were great with me in the room. The funny thing was, I was playing with my line mates a couple times. He's 20. I'm like, Jesus, he could be me. He could be my kid. No, the guys were great with me in the locker room. Obviously, they knew who, you know, they'd never seen me play. They've heard about me. They almost saw your jerseys in the rafters. But I just did what I did when I played when I was in my 20s. I, you know, kept the locker room light. Obviously, we lost, so it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And because we had a depleted lineup and whatnot. But, you know, the guys were great. And, you know, when something needed to be said, or the bench, or they scored, say something. But I try to go out and lead by example when I got a chance. And Ralph gave me great opportunity, put me on the power play, and so I had a chance to do a couple things. I felt okay to start the game, but by the end of the second period and into the third, it felt like I'd never left. My timing started to come back.
That's awesome.
I just started to feel really, yeah, and I started to feel really, really good, and I was just upset that it was going to end, and I knew I was probably only going to play that game. But it was just good mentally for me to know that, hey, you're going to be 40 years old, you can still play the game. And I had a lot of people, when they found out they were coming to the game to watch, so I was like, well, I better do something. So I was happy to actually get a chance to shoot the puck and get a goal. And you know, the only thing that didn't work out is we didn't win. So.
Well, you know what? It's all a bonus, because we've seen you so many times put the game on your shoulders and
yep.
close it out.
Ernie, I'm going to tell you right now, it was a thrill for Haney and I to hear that you did this, because I'm sitting getting ready to go to work, and I'm you know, getting stuff ready for the show, and I'm watching Wink TV, and the story comes on that you played Friday night, and I'm going, hold on, what? What am I going going back 8 years, 10 years? It was great.
Oh, I love it. Well, I appreciate always the support from you guys all over those years, and thanks for always you know, turning me on and having me on your show. And I'll talk hockey every day and all day, so I just love it.
Well, tell all the guys from the old days I said hello.
Absolutely will.
Ernie, thank you so much, and congratulations on a nice return.
Awesome, boys. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
There he goes, Ernie Hartlieb, everybody. Yeah, go to the Hertz Arena. His number's hanging up there. He holds a lot of Blades records.
And you're absolutely right. Those young guys, you want to talk about Mr. Good Example.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, and you know this because you did the PA announcing for him for 10 years, you're looking at these hockey players, and the thing that would always strike me, they're kids. Mm-hmm. They're so young. They've got their careers ahead of them. They're hoping to go to the NHL and have a career. They're so young. And then you got a guy like Ernie Hartlieb, who's been there, did that, knows how the game is played, and you would hope that they would want to soak it up like a sponge.
Time flies, man.
Yeah, I know.
What year is this?
Yeah. Long time.
When did I do my first game with the Everblades?
1998.
Yeah, time kind of flies.
Yeah, yeah. And you retired in 19. Well, your first one was 1998. You did 2008 is when you hung up the microphone.
Man,
and that was 11 years ago. we'll be back. We're going to give you a chance to win when we come back. Stan's fill in the blank. 96K Rock.
Every once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon, about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails hour away from the Wayback Machine. We'll find out which week or what year we're going to, what was on the Billboard charts for this week. But right now, this is a new game and I like this game. When I was putting it together, I said, this has potential. Fill in the blank. I'm going to give you, we're going to get it, well, contestant at a time. We have enough for three rounds.
Let me see if this is it.
Okay, let me see if this. Roll them. That part where it's, leave that. That's where I want. Wait for the answer. Yes.
So
yes,
that's what you want.
That's what I want. But right at that that part. Your job is to fill in the blank for five quotes in a row. These are well-known quotes.
Are these mainly things that I have said?
Or? No. These are, whether it be a play, whether it be a politician, whether it be an actor, a statesman,
I heard
a
that
founding
there were
father.
Several authors trying to catalog my quotes into books.
It could be from a classic novel. Your job is to answer five in a row. If there is one that you don't know, you truly don't know it, you can use your one lifeline to Haney to fill in the blank. If you miss one of the five, even after using Haney as a lifeline, you're out. We're going to get another contestant, another five questions.
How many questions do you have to answer to win?
Five in a row. You have to get five in a row.
And are these on any specific topic?
Nope, they're just famous quotes.
Okay.
Like I said, could come from a novel, could come from a world leader, could come from a politician, could come from...
Your grandpa?
A grandpa. These are a play, a famous play. If you get five in a row, and again, you can use Haney as a lifeline for one. You miss one, game's over, we're going to get another contestant try to get five in a row. You'll have your choice of the following prizes. Maybe you'd like a bottle of Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw, 10-ounce bottle. We've got concerts coming to the Barber B Man on March 18th. The Led Zeppelin cover band, Get the Let Out. That's going to be Monday the 18th. Maybe you'd like a pair of tickets to go see Slipknot, September 4th at the Mid-Florida Amphitheater in Tampa. We have $50 to Taverna Wood Fire Kitchen in Cape Coral. $50 to the Pewter Mug North. Or $25 to Tropical Smoothie. You just have to, it's you listening to my fill in the quote. You're not going up against anybody but yourself. 277-9600. five in a row, fill in the blank of the famous quote. 277-9600. You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. 277-9600. Let's get our first contestant. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's John.
John, you want to try this?
I'd love to try.
All right, you got to get five in a row. I'll give you the quote. Your job is to fill in the blank. You're allowed Haney as a lifeline for one of them. You have to get five in a row or the game's over.
Got it.
All right, here we go. And please, feel free to think about it for a second. Don't go too long. Five in a row, you get the prize.
All right.
Number one, complete this Shakespeare quote. A rose by any other name would smell as blank. A rose by any other name would smell as...
As sweet.
You are absolutely correct. One down, four more to go. Complete this quote. This was a quote from Gandhi.
Oh.
An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blank. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blank. You can answer it yourself, or you can defer to Haney.
I'm going to have to call a lifeline there. Haney, you know it?
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If he gets it wrong, this is the risk that you're taking. Game over.
I know. I have no clue. I
mean, all right.
So
here it is. Haney, Gandhi said it. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blank.
Blind.
You are correct. Two in a row. Mark Haney just saved your ass right there.
Thank you.
Two down, three to go.
Yeah.
Finish this or complete this Martin Luther King quote. I have a blank that one day.
Dream.
What?
Dream.
Correct. Three in a row. He said this. I have a dream that you got that one day right here in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and little white girls. And you're correct. Dream.
All right.
That's three in a row. Two more to go. Number four. Complete this Abraham Lincoln quote.
All right.
Four score and blank.
Seven.
There's three words. Four score.
7 years ago.
Correct. You've nailed four in a row.
Our forefathers brought forth. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I didn't ask for that much, but I appreciate that. Here we go, number five. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You answer this correctly. Got to do it on your own. Haney already helped you. You get this correctly, you're going to win a prize.
Okay.
Listen carefully. Finish this quote by Winston Churchill.
Churchill.
Never was so much owed by so many to so blank. Would you like to hear it again?
Yes. Yeah, I need to hear that again.
Listen very carefully.
I think I know it, but I want to hear it again.
Never was so much owed by so many to so blank.
You
are absolutely correct. You got five in a row. Nice job. Nice job.
You.
What would you like?
I'll take that thing and get a pizza in Cape Coral.
That Taverna Firewood Kitchen?
Yeah.
You got it, buddy. Hold on. Nice job. You got five in a row. That's how it's played. Who else wants to play?
I don't know. It seemed like it got easier as it went on.
Some of them are very easy. Some of them are not. I took them randomly. Again, you can use Haney as a lifeline one time.
Okay, so these aren't designed to be any easier or harder.
No, they're
just random.
Just random.
Because on the big show, they got harder.
Somebody might want to go and think that they know it. For all I know, someone's going to miss it right off the bat. They're gone.
No, but I mean, in the show, they got obviously more difficult as time went on.
Completely random. Some of these are difficult, but it's in no particular order. Like getting tougher.
So, like, you know, your first one could be a difficult one.
Correct.
Okay.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Sue.
Sue, do you think you know your quotes?
I don't know.
Were you listening to the guy before you do so well?
Yes, I was.
And you think you could do that, huh?
Well, I knew those.
All right, well, let's see your batch. Five in a row. Haney on one of them can help you, okay?
Okay.
You miss one, and that includes Haney missing it as well. Game over.
Right.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. This is from President John F. Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask
what you can do for your country.
Correct. One down. One down.
Well, that wouldn't play today, would it?
It sure wouldn't.
Because it's all about free stuff.
Yay! That's funny.
Little one wants free stuff. All right, here we go. Number two. What's your first name?
Sue.
Sue, you ready, Sue? Number two.
Yes.
Again, you got Haney as a lifeline if you need him.
Okay.
Complete this line. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness blank.
I'm going to have to ask Lifeline for that one.
All right,
you shouldn't have done that.
Gonna go to Mark Haney.
That was a big mistake, Sue.
Haney.
All right, I wasn't paying full attention, okay. So I need to know.
Okay, here we
who,
go.
Who said it?
I don't have the the source, but it's a famous line. Somebody said this. Some are born great. Some achieve greatness. And some have greatness
in them, within them.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry, Sue.
Sorry, Sue. I don't know that one.
Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Thrust upon them.
I kind of object, though, that we don't know who said that.
Yeah, I just...
That might have helped.
Yeah, but not really. Not really.
Well, if they're not, you know, even credited with it, let's must not be that great.
Let's try another contestant. Got a fresh batch of questions. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. Are you one of our regular Amandas?
Every once in a while.
Okay, good, Amanda.
You're part of our Amanda Armada.
Yep. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. You got your own batch of five fresh ones here. Fresh quotes. You have to answer five in a row.
Okay.
You can use Haney as a lifeline for one of them.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Finish this famous line from a Robert Frost poem. Two roads diverge in a blank. Two roads diverge in a blank.
I think I'm going to have to use
no,
Haney
don't,
already.
Don't. Please. Please don't.
Are you selecting Haney?
Don't do it.
Yeah, I don't know it, yeah.
No, I don't know it either. All right, let's try again. What does it say?
All right, here we go. Haney, you're going to have to do this. Finish this famous line from a Robert Frost poem. Two roads diverged in a blank.
I'm going to have to go out on a limb here. Something yellow wood.
Is that your final answer?
It's going to have to be.
Amanda?
Yeah.
It's yellow wood.
Oh, my God!
You can't use Haney anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, that was from the Robert Frost poem, Two Roads Diverge in a Yellow Wood. You're on your own for the rest of these.
Okay.
Complete this Shakespearean quote. To be or not to be, that is the blank.
Question.
Correct. That's easy enough.
Well, what's the answer?
Question. I said correct.
No, but what's the answer?
I don't have that. That's not the quote I asked. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Yeah, so whether what's the answer?
Something or nothing.
So what's the answer?
She got it right.
To be or not to be?
That is the question.
Well, what's the answer to the question?
Nobody knows. All right, Amanda?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Number three. You got two in a row. Got to get five. Finish this famous line from Heart of Darkness.
Oh, okay.
The horror. Blank. The horror. I'll give you a little hint. I already said the next line. Finish this line. Finish this line from Heart of Darkness. And when I say this to you, I've already said what you need to fill in. The horror.
Heart of Darkness?
Incorrect. The next line was the horror.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Amanda. Sorry. Thank
you. Damn you, Joe Conrad.
Let's see if I can get together five more here. Let me see.
Robert Frost.
I think I can get five more here.
You're the only person that's read Robert Frost in the past 50 years.
Me?
Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky. Hold on. I think I can get two, three, four, and five. Yep. Got it. Let's try for one more here. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Todd.
Todd, you ready to get five in a row and win a prize?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Haney is your lifeline for one of them. You got to answer five in a row.
All right.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "They that give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve blank." They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve blank.
I'm going to have to start off with Haney on this one.
Wow.
I don't know. I have a guess, but...
Neither.
You are absolutely correct, Haney. One
Thank
in a
you,
row
sir.
For you. Thanks to Haney. All right. Finish this line. Do not go gentle into the night. Well, let me read it again. Hold on. I read it wrong.
You stumbled.
I stumbled. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the blank. Finish these lines. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the
light.
Yes, very good, very good. That's two in a row.
All right.
Here we go. Number three. You got to do them all on your own. During FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, during his first inaugural address, included this famous line. The only thing we have to fear is...
fear itself.
Correct. Three in a row. Finish this line. It was the best of times. It was the blank.
Worst of times.
Correct. One left. One left. You've used the lifeline. You have to do this on your own. And you'll win. Finish the first line of Moby Dick. Call me blank.
Ishmael.
Yes! Nice job!
Yes, yes.
You've got it. Five in a row. What would you like?
I'd like to go to the pewter mug, please.
Done. $50 to the pewter mug. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys. Love you.
Hold on. Love you, too. Thank you for playing Fill in the Blank. We're going to take a break. When we come back, first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Later on in the 4 o'clock hour, the Wayback Machine. We are Stan and Haney.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry, just try not to focus on the pain.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. La-da-dee. Swamp Fest. Tickets are on sale. $25. Pop Evil. Special guests. Memphis Mayfire and Messer. Going to be at the Ranch in Fort Myers Sunday, April 14th. Tickets available now at 96krock.com. Wayback Machine in about 30 minutes.
You know, I saw something over the weekend.
What'd you see?
Well, there was a lot of stories about the British monarchy in the Daily Mail.
Yeah, well, they love that.
Yeah. They're talking about Wallis Simpson.
Yeah.
What's the one she married? Edward?
He had to abdicate the throne.
And they were
during World War II, he was a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah, and they were talking about her being, you know, a filthy little tramp.
Yeah, a divorcee.
And they and then they switched and started talking about when he was still king, or before he was king, he was prince, and was touring Australia. And they said, the racist diaries of Prince Edward. And it's him in like the 20s or something, going through Australia and writing private letters back, talking about how appalled he was by the spear-chucking people that he saw putting on demonstrations for him. They had an odor. They were primitive. I care for it not at all.
Right.
And this is in the 1920s.
Yep.
And they're, oh my God, can you believe?
Well, I'm sure he waved a hanky that had a little perfume in it so that he wouldn't be offended. He was trouble.
But at the same time,
that was Edward, or who became king? His brother became king. Was that Edward that became king, or was...
No, Edward was the one that married the tramp.
The Simpson girl.
Yeah.
Wallis Simpson.
Yeah.
And then
it was Elizabeth's father.
Right. King...
I don't know.
King, what is it? King what? Look up the monarchies.
What is he doing?
I don't know what he's doing. I'm asking him to look up.
Is he eating something?
I'm asking him to look up the kings. Who was...
But the point is, you can't take somebody's letters from the 1920s and call him a racist.
That's the way it was. I mean, you got to look at the times.
And even beyond the times?
Yeah. King, king, king.
What days are you talking about?
1930.
Yeah. 30s.
Oh, jeez. Google it. Google it.
Who was king after King Edward in the 1930s? Because that would be...
King George V?
King George.
And then he died pretty quickly, didn't he? Is he the stutterer?
The King's Speech?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth took over. Queen Elizabeth, no, he was for a while. Because Queen Elizabeth didn't get the crown until like 1950 or something.
But I mean, and they made such a big deal about it. And I'm like, this is a member of the British monarchy.
Yeah.
He's giving you his impressions. These are primitive people I don't enjoy being around them.
Yeah, but he had to because they were a territory of the empire.
But what's wrong with his opinion? They are primitive. They don't fit. If you're comparing that with downtown London, no, their civilization is not on par with theirs.
Well, that's why, you know.
But you're not allowed to say that.
No, not you're not allowed to read it now.
And I just saw another thing, and your head will explode. The Time magazine that just came out, I thought it was safe because Julia Louis-Dreyfus is on the cover.
Yeah.
And it said, Comedy Today, tribute to Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Okay, this seems safe enough. And I look at it and go, where comedy is now? And they highlight today's comedians. Do you know that Steve Martin, Martin Short, would not make it today?
Well, they're going around touring now and get loads of
laughs.
No, but
I'm saying if they were starting out, they wouldn't make it today because today's comedians, I should have brought it in because I started looking down the list and I'm going, I don't know who any of these people are. This one here, well, let's see. She's 26 and her comedy consists of, she is a part trans Vietnamese immigrant. I'm like, what? Oh, no, part Vietnamese trans woman. And then there is a woman who is Islamic and has cerebral palsy.
Oh, yeah, but then it's okay.
And I'm looking down the list, and it's all of that. And it seems like every magazine that I'm getting, the Smithsonian just did it. All of these features are about women. Famous women,
yes.
Women writers, women comedians.
That's where we're at.
And it's like, look, I don't have anything against women. I don't have anything against minorities. But that's all that I hear about anymore.
Yep. That's the thing. You're an elderly white male.
What am I? Now, Junior knows what I am. What am I? I know I'm problematic.
You're a misguided older white man.
Yeah.
An older white, older white male.
And Albert was Edward's father.
In a can. Prince Albert.
That's too
bad. Hey, ready?
What?
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
Why, yes, I do.
Well, you better let him out before he suffocates.
Let's take a look at traffic for your drive home. First look.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
We'll start in Fort Myers. Crash, 13,000 block of Osprey Drive.
Are there any Osprey there?
Maybe they fly around. I saw a mockingbird harassing a bald eagle over the weekend.
Oh, they'll do it.
Yep. They're not afraid of anything.
Well, they make fun of other birds. They're not very popular now, I'll tell you that. People used to love them, think they were hilarious, but now they don't like them.
Fort Myers, crash, Columbus Boulevard and State Road 82. Fort Myers, crash, Alico Center Road and Alico Road. Bonita, crash, Bonita Beach Road Southeast and Imperial Bonita Plaza. And on Sandal. Something going on at West Gulf Drive in Tarpon Bay. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news, and he's got the headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
Unemployed millennial gal, she's just 30, just starting out in life.
Yeah, just, testing the new waters of the world.
Yep. They're adorable at that age, aren't they?
They sure are. They're just children, Haney.
Well, the 30-year-old assaults her mommy with her phone, threw the phone at her, busted her head open because mommy refused to drive her to yoga class. Yep. You talk about taking the world's temperature. There you are. Now we're on to weightier subjects, more serious things.
Yes.
Does potato salad count as a salad? We'll have the results.
You know I have a debate about that.
Well, you're not a big fan of mayonnaise-based
no,
things.
No, sir, especially at a picnic table outdoors in the sun.
A man faked his own kidnapping to avoid paying his gambling debts.
Yep.
We'll tell you about the report of a deranged person hugging a pillow near Minneapolis.
Yep.
And finally, the Miami Herald just ranked the top Florida man stories of all time. You know what that is.
What
anytime
is
you start out with a story, a Florida man did.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, they ran them all down and determined the top 10 Florida man stories. We'll have them for you. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Let's find some laughter out of this day.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. Woo!
That has been practically no volume for 2 weeks, and I have it set so...
He didn't even know what he was hitting.
No. 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Junior.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Yep, gotta keep it way down now.
Did either of you fellows make it to church yesterday?
I did not.
Me neither.
No. Junior doesn't know what the inside of a church looks like.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons you did not go to church yesterday.
Top reasons you didn't go to church yesterday.
Your parents weren't visiting, so you didn't have to pretend like you still go. You don't like it there because their Wi-Fi system blocks porn.
It's true.
You voted for Hillary, so you know damn well you're going to hell. Those Instagram pics of that fancy avocado toast and bottomless mimosa brunch won't take themselves. None of your clothing is lightning proof.
God.
When you hear an organ, it stirs up memories of a bad acid trip you had at the Iron Butterfly concert.
none of that Warsy stuff. None of that Warsy stuff.
And finally, the very top reason you didn't go to church yesterday.
Yes.
All those judgmental looks you get when you take money out of the collection plate. Right, Dave?
Yeah. Ha 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 ha. I'm dying. This is gold.
Yeah.
Pure gold.
Yeah, it is.
And
that, my friend,
is the four.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it,
Freddie,
baby.
Email time. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
This is from, we've seen it, Elliot. It's from Elliot. Gentlemen. I just received my magazine of Rolling Stone on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
And I almost threw up on it.
Unbelievable.
AOC, Pelosi, and Omar on the cover.
Yep, Mullah Omar and Representative Taliban.
Women shaping the future. Seriously?
Yes.
WTF.
It's all about women.
Keep up the great work. This is from, just signed with initials, MJM. Ahoy, boys. Thought I'd give you a heads up, as Stan, you are a Brian and Beach Boys fan. And Mark, I believe you are a big Brian May and Queen aficionado.
Oh, yeah, I love Brian May.
New song released this week. I've heard a demo, and it's pretty well done. Dennis Wilson's Holy Man. Long talked about version of Dennis Wilson's Holy Man that Foo Fighters' Taylor Hawkins and Queen's Brian May and Roger Taylor added. They contribute to it in 2009. It was shelved due to legal issues. Gonna be released.
Nice.
Enjoy, and thanks for the laughs. MJM. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
I see in this email, The Guardian is going to take everyone to school. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, you know, every day I see and read things that the average person may not know about.
Tell me about it, Guardian.
Here's one I saw this weekend that is no surprise to me. I actually wrote about this problem 2 years ago. Last week, there was a recall on three major drugs. Unpronounceable for me.
You want me to take a look?
Amlodipine. Losartan. And Valsartan.
Yeah, those are blood pressure drugs.
These are all drugs that deal with blood pressure. And heart disease. Now, the reason for the recall is impurity in the drugs. These impurities are from additives. And some
from the Chinaman.
Yep. Yeah. And some of them are known to cause cancer. Now, these drugs are made in India. And there are very few restrictions as to what can be added. So if you take these drugs, call your pharmacy and find out if your pills are on recall.
Yeah, it is. The generic market has changed. It is not the quality that it used to be.
You would be surprised how little regulation there is on drugs made overseas. And most generally, you're talking about generics. There's more, but it's too long for this email, but I hope this helps just a little bit. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
When we come back, we're going to take a look at what was on the Billboard charts for this week in a particular year. Today, we're going to take a look at the bottom five of American Top 40, 40 through 36. We'll let you know where we're going when we come back. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Mark Haney and the news in about 30 minutes. We're going to jump into the Wayback Machine here in just a second. We'll let you know where we're going. We're going to take a look at the bottom five of American Top 40 for this very week in a particular year. We'll do that after we take a look at traffic here, brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
Okay, a couple of things on the board. We'll start in Alva. Got a crash. Linwood Avenue and Palm Beach Boulevard. It's eastbound lanes. And the Minnesota Twins were playing at Hammond Stadium for a 105 start today, which means the ballpark is letting out. And we have a crash. 6 miles Cypress Parkway at Hammond Stadium.
Now, Florida plates involved? Or?
Doesn't say, but my guess would be Minnesota plates. I don't know who they're playing today. I think they were playing the Orioles.
Jeez. Spring training is such a weird thing.
It is weird. And I'll say this quick before we go into the Wayback Machine. In the last probably 20 years, spring training has taken on a life of itself. We've got two teams here and then a third one up in Charlotte.
It's like its own season.
It's its own season. People plan a year in advance to come down here and do all this stuff. Back in the day, back in the 80s, Haney and I used to take a nice leisurely drive when we lived on the other coast to Vero Beach.
Dodger Town.
Very relaxed. Very very little security. People roamed around.
Oh, hello, Mr. Koufax.
Yep. Hello, Mr. Drysdale. Hey, Vin Scully, you doing the game?
Well, yep. Wouldn't be doing anything else, would I, youngster?
There's the fat man, Tommy Lasorda. It's changed. It is now, for a month, a destination event where people pay huge amounts of money to see a split squad game with none of the big stars around just to be a part of it, coming down from where it's cold.
The first spring training game I ever saw, I was a very small child in Daytona. And there was I imagine there still is, there was a ballpark on City Island, sitting there right there in the Halifax River. And it was the Montreal Expos.
Ah.
And it made quite an impact on me because a lot of the Canadians were there. And they had their chants that they do in Montreal and all that. Just a really cool experience. Nothing like it is today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Nothing like it is today. For you kids out there, the Montreal Expos became the Washington Nationals. The Nationals.
But then they were the Montreal Expos.
Yep.
I think at that point they had a pretty good pitcher by the name of Mike Torres.
And Tim Raines was on that team.
Oh, this was way before Tim Raines.
He came to him, in 79.
Oh, yeah. This was probably a good 5-6 years before that. And the A's used to train in Daytona.
The Kansas City A's.
And Joe Rudy rented a room for my grandmother.
Ah, good deal. Let's find out where we're going. We're going to go back to a different time. Bottom five of American Top 40. Let's see where we're going.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1978...
Remember, you heard it. I'll bet you danced to it.
Not oh, so long ago.
Now let's live it
live
up.
Live it up.
Again.
Who are we living out with?
Stan and Haney. Number 40.
Jackson Brown. Running on empty.
And you want to hear something funny about Jackson Brown running on empty? Stan and I independently are looking at the list. And for some reason, we focused on a different Jackson Brown song altogether.
And realized this is a standalone.
Yep.
Number 40 this week in 78.
Oh, you nailed the post.
I did. I knew this. I know this one by heart.
Looking back at the years gone by like so many.
And this is one of those, this was a hit the first time you heard it.
Yep.
Time you had Jackson Brown and the Eagles.
Yeah. All came from the same area.
Yep. Linda Ronstadt.
Yep.
Thank you.
Coming in at number 39, Andrew Gold.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you.
Long before Golden Girls, it was a hit.
It sure was.
Your heart is true.
Love Andrew Gold.
You're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say.
You shouldn't be.
I hope it always will stay this way.
It won't.
My hat is off. Won't you stand
it has.
Up and take a bow?
You and me are okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
But then again, we didn't start out as friends.
No. Started out as mortal enemies.
Yep. Nemesis.
Yeah.
But now it's like this.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac. Whatever you need, any time of the day or night.
See, in 1978, a Cadillac was the pinnacle.
Oh, yeah, it was tops. You didn't want a foreign job.
Nip tin can.
Yeah.
My hat is off. Won't you stand up and take a bow? And when we both get older, with walking canes and hair of gray,
on our way.
Yep. Knocking at that door.
Thank you for
there's where it gets really psychedelic.
Oh, yeah. I can dig it.
Yeah.
For being a
Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Friend number 39 this week in 1978. This is a band called Odyssey. Native New Yorker.
Hello, darling. Let's take a walk through Central Park.
Yep. Your disco era.
Oh, look. There's the Statue of Liberty.
Club scene.
Oh, my goodness. It's Times Square.
You native New Yorker.
That's the Stan and Haney difference. Secret weapon, the sax man.
Yep. And a Moog synthesizer.
Yep, love that Moog.
Foreigner.
It was a Monday.
Yes, it is.
Like any other day, I left a small town, but the
apple in decay.
It was my destiny.
Well, New York heavy.
It's what we needed to do, they were telling me.
I'm telling you.
This is a 1978 AM version of this recording that has been pitched up. Save about 3 seconds on this song.
I'm looking out for the two of us.
This is the way we heard it in 78. A little faster than I remember.
I was inside, looking outside, of the millions of faces, but still I'm alone.
coming in at number 36. A late friend of ours.
Ha ha.
Lou Rawls, baby.
Thank you, everybody. Oh, yeah. Lady love. Your love is peaceful like
the Rawls.
Love that's tender as a baby's touch.
Hear that voice?
Give me all of the things.
That's what three
that
packs
I need
a day
so
get you. Because he smoked
you're
a lot.
My world,
menthol.
Lady
yeah.
Love.
Oh, yes.
Lady love. Your love is cooling like the winter snow.
Your love is cooling like the winter
my
snow.
Yeah. That winter snow is cooling.
With a love that's cozy as a fire's glow.
Now that doesn't
cozy
make any sense.
Cozy as a fire's glow.
Keep on needing you, girl, a little more and more. And I thank
that's
you,
the Stan and Haney difference.
Our buddy Lou Rawls.
You know, it's not easy. Keep love going smooth. People are people
and
they
people.
All yeah. have their moves. But it's so nice just to have someone like you who wants a smooth and easy thing and all the good times that it brings.
Lady, lady love,
you've been with me through all of my ups and downs.
When he was near death, she robbed him blind.
But now with you I'm found. You got the love I need and I want to stay around. Heaven sent you down, my lady love.
Lady love.
Let me tell you that
it's so
it's
nice.
It's not easy. Keep love going smooth.
Smooth.
You know people are people.
Yes, they are.
Edgy.
You've been on edge.
Yeah.
Weeks now.
Well, that's that water weight.
And all the good times and the joy that it brings, my lady love. You've been with me through all of my ups and downs and my crazy turnarounds, my lady love. You got the love I need, so stay around. Heaven sent my lady love.
Sing it, ladies.
Lady love.
Nice job.
Oh, lady.
Nice
lady
job by
love.
The flautist.
Yep.
You got the love I need.
A flouter.
So much.
Yep.
And I love your tender touch, lady love. Sweet lady love.
The number one song in the land
you
this week.
Are so good to me, lady love.
For 1978.
Like a
Andy Gibb, Love is Thicker
That's
Than Water.
What you do to me, lady love.
Star that shone very brightly, but dimmed before its time.
Yeah, thanks to Victoria Principal.
Yeah, she did it.
Mark Haney and the News is next. 96K Rock.
96K Rock is where we've been for many years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like. And then they said something else, but I forgot what it was.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Monday afternoon. Your day wrapping up, heading home. Mark Haney in the News coming up here in just a bit. 6 o'clock, it'll be Rob's show. Taking you through your evening, let's get a look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, looky here. San Carlos Boulevard got a crash right by the Walmart. Fort Myer, hit and run. 18,000 block of South Tamiami Trail right by the Publix. and in Lehigh Acres crash, 2700 block of 25th Street Southwest, and you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is Rural News Tonight with Max Robinson in Chicago, Peter Jennings in London, who is on assignment tonight, Barbara Walter, special reports. Tonight, a comment from Howard K. Smith, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, March 4th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know.
Okay.
Now, I imagine it'll come as quite a shock to somebody like, say, Junior here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was a time when if you went into a fast food joint, you were more than welcome to kick back and have a cool smoke.
Oh, yeah. They'd have the little punched-out aluminum ashtrays.
Yeah, little tin things.
The little tin ashtrays.
Yep. And what do you think was the first fast food chain to ban smoking?
I don't know. I do remember, like, restaurants, and I think there's a few states that still have
smoking
it.
Or non.
Smoking or non-smoking. It used
you
to be
said
this way
in Pennsylvania they still have it.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. I don't know if they've changed it. But the waitress used to ask you, the hostess, smoking or non-smoking, or first available? And you'd have a smoking section, and you'd have the area where, and I thought that was fair.
And there
that was fair.
And there was a golden age where you would get seated and smoking much quicker.
You would be. And back in those days, because I smoked. And I would, at a restaurant, always say non-smoking. Because when I was eating, I didn't like to have the smoke all around me. But I appreciated the fact, like if you and I went out, we'd ask for the smoking section, and it's fine.
Kick back, have some cocktails.
Yep. Well, that's the whole thing of like going to a and bar then, and stuff like that and being able
and
to
then,
smoke.
And then you finish the meal, you know, they take the stuff away.
Have a cool smoke.
Yep. That was so satisfying.
Yep. But we're talking about fast food places.
Yeah, which was the first one to ban it?
I'll go with the obvious, McDonald's.
Arby's.
Ah, where's the beef? No, where we've got the beef. It's where the beef is.
We have the meats.
Oh, there it is.
Thank you, Haney.
Now,
Lady Love.
How long ago did they ban smoking?
Had to be in the 90s. That's when, look.
It's when it all went bad.
We used to smoke here. The building was...
It was a smoker-friendly building.
Our office, Junior, big glass ashtray.
Yep.
Right there. Smoke them. We had a, now they didn't like the fact that we would smoke around the board, but that was okay because right outside the studio door in the hallway, there was a smoking area where the ashtrays were.
Yeah, there was no going out getting rained on or any of that BS.
Right
in here.
Yep.
I feel bad for you.
Door would be propped open, Haney, as we were going to be pulling that last drag off the smoke, putting it down. Well, we'll finish. I can finish this when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember when it was coming.
That was so glorious.
When it was coming down, because everybody in here was pushing for non-smoking.
And it was us and one very important individual.
One very, very high up in the business.
Held out as long as he possibly
until
could.
Until the state laws came and he had to.
It was 1994.
Yeah, sure. It was the 90s where all the fun was.
That is when joy was taken out of life.
Fun was taken away.
And you see where we've ended up.
What is so wrong with smoking or non-smoking? Where would you like to sit? And let me tell you, we're in Florida. Up north, where it's like would be like 3 degrees outside, you kind of appreciated that you had a smoking area up at the bar,
mm-hmm.
or you had a section over there. You know,
you had
with
a place to go.
You had a place to go to smoke.
Because they wouldn't allow somebody, even if they wanted to open a restaurant and make it exclusively smoking. No, you can't do
that.
No. But you can get gay married.
Yep. And now we're treated like lepers.
Yep.
Lepers.
Yep. Now your gays, they're respectable members of society. Smokers are the outcasts.
Yeah. Oh, and wait till marijuana is legal in every state. That there'll be no problem with someone lighting up a joint. That's cool, man. We understand.
There would be a haze of green smoke, but if you light up a regular one. What are you doing?
Uh-uh. You can go to jail for that. You got some weed, though? That's legal now, huh?
Yeah, that's good for you. Now, I know that you know this, Stan. This would be for the benefit of the youngsters, but you know your U.S. presidents. And there was a time during the Great War, World War I,
mm-hmm.
Woodrow Wilson decided to save some money.
Yeah, he was a money saver, not...
He got rid of all the White House groundskeepers and replaced them with 48 sheep.
There are famous pictures of sheep grazing on the front lawn of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Fired a lot of blue-collar workers who really needed the work.
Yep.
Told them to hit the bricks.
Yeah, he did a lot of damage.
Yep. More... Yeah, you know, people, Woodrow, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. Read about him. He ruined this country.
He sure did.
Started to ruin it. And I'm going to say this, and I got to be very careful, because I'm not...
You're problematic like I am.
When you are doing things, we looked at what King Edward said when he went to Australia. Mm. You know, Woodrow Wilson was a president in the 20th century. Read some of his opinions on race and women. And, he shouldn't have been president. He shouldn't have been with those. And they got letters. And read what he thought of things.
My problem with him has to do with sovereignty and finance.
Oh, absolutely. What do they call it? Progressive.
Yeah. Progressing straight to hell.
Yep.
You know, every once in a while, a story comes along that on its own isn't that big of a deal, but it provides us with a snapshot of where this country is at the moment. We have such a story for you today.
All right.
An unemployed 30-year-old woman in Maryland who still lives with her parents...
Well, she's just a baby.
...is facing second-degree assault charges after she threw her phone at her mommy's head because mommy refused to drive her to yoga class.
Temper tantrum?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't care about the phone. Mommy probably bought her the phone.
Her name is Holly Ann Albert.
Aw.
This happened a year and a half ago, but she was just arrested last month. According to police, Holly flipped out when her mommy refused to drive her to yoga class.
Mommy had other problems.
Began screaming insults at her mother, then picked up the phone, threw it at her mother's head, and it opened a large gash, blood everywhere.
Well, forehead bleeds.
Well, her quick-thinking mommy used that very bloody phone to call 911.
On her little girl, her little temper tantrum. How old was she?
30. Ah. When police showed up, they couldn't help but notice that mommy's shirt and hair were drenched in blood. Holly fled the scene.
Sure, not taking responsibility. She's just a child.
And it is not clear why she wasn't arrested until just now, but she is due back in court later this month. Sadly, her parents are now begging the court to forget anything happened.
Right. We don't want to see our little girl go to jail. Look at that mugshot with the smug look on her face. Look at her. Look at that.
What a waste.
Yep. Junior would swipe right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a junior 10.
I'd say a 9.
And he's attracted to that smirk.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And a little dimple, that yep. lone dimple.
Yep. Well, that's where she used to pick at herself.
Yeah.
It's scarred.
Mommy and Daddy wrote the court a letter that explained that Holly still lives with them. They're not afraid of her anymore.
No, since the medication kicked in.
And they're very proud of Holly.
Yes.
Because she hasn't had any severe outbursts since then.
Has she found work yet, though?
No, and that's another thing. Holly would like to remain living with them because they support her financially
yes.
and in other ways mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
They fear what would happen to Holly if she had to be on her own.
Jeez. I already...
What's that, Junior?
What?
What, it makes sense?
What do you mean it makes sense?
Well, I mean, she's kind of like a Dave, just taking money. Doesn't really have to work for it that much. Maybe do some chores.
Yeah, she's got some chores. Clean her room and make sure she takes the garbage out, especially the bathroom garbage where her lady products
are. Or you know what'll happen.
Yeah, the dog will get at it.
Yep. Yeah, next thing you know, there's Rusty dragging a bloody rat tail around the house again, right over the good carpet.
Yep.
And he'll nip at you if you try and take it from him.
Darn right he will. That's his.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Holly. Holly. This is what the doctor talked about, okay? Let's all calm down. All right, then. You don't have to clean your room today, but it better be done tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay? Yes, honey. All right, we'll turn the Netflix back on.
Yep. Rusty! Rusty! Lie down!
Let me tell you something. After that story,
yeah.
You got to look at Junior and just be proud as hell.
Oh, yeah, you admire him.
At least he's making an effort.
He's making an effort. Granted, he's handcuffed.
Yeah,
but he's
making an effort.
He's making an effort.
And I mean, Ollie,
yeah.
if you're doing anything after that story, you got to feel pretty damn good.
Yep, I'm doing all right.
At least I got a job.
Yep.
Sorry about that, folks. Well, the internet is a great place to finally settle all those age-old questions. Today's question, does potato salad count as salad?
No. No, it does not.
Over 250,000 people voted, and 38% said, yes, potato salad is salad. Their argument is very simple. They say, looky here, dummy. Salad is in the name.
Oh, yeah, wow. Think about that.
62% of people in the poll say no. Things like potato and pasta salad aren't salad because they're just not.
They're just not.
Rusty!
Helen. I just had to chase the dog down again. You need to have a talk with Holly about what the doctor said. Tell her it's about what the doctor said. Maybe we need to adjust the dose. It's not working. And yes, I'll turn the Amazon back on. Now, hard to relate to this next story being in Florida, but for people in Minnesota, it's freezing cold and snowing, and they see somebody standing perfectly still.
This is so sick.
With no jacket on.
Yeah.
Staring straight at you with a big smile.
Yeah.
Someone near Minneapolis called the police when this exact scenario happened to them last Thursday. They called the police, panicked, because they described him as a deranged man, said he was holding a pillow and hugging it in a very creepy way, not wearing any jacket, and it's freezing.
Yeah.
Well, police were dispatched thinking that they were dealing with someone having a mental breakdown. But after they showed up and got close enough to investigate the deranged man, they discovered it was not, in fact, a deranged individual.
No, it wasn't.
It was a cardboard cutout of good guy Mike Lindell, the guy who won't leave you alone about his pillow.
Yeah, I can hold it there all night, but, you know, if I let, I'm not going to stay here all night. See your head go back up.
You know what? A lot of people are saying, hey, I love my pillow, but what about a mattress topper? Yep. Well, great news. We got mattress toppers
now. You know
what
he's got now? The Giza sheets.
What?
Only a special place in between, I don't know, Passaic and Staten Island. They make a cotton like this. And I looked it up. He's getting $100 a pop for these TV sheets.
Good Lord. Nobody knows why the cardboard cutout was there.
But it fooled somebody.
But MyPillow's headquarters are in the area.
Yep.
So cardboard cutouts of Mike Lindell are far from uncommon in the area.
Yeah, he's a popular guy.
Police joked about it on F-Book, but said it's always better to be safe than sorry. So they say the person who called in about the deranged pillow-hugging individual did the right thing.
Yep. You know, oddly hugging a pillow.
Yes.
Yeah, look at him.
Very creepy.
Yep.
Oh, and he's just smiling.
And his hair is very, if you look at him in the correct, his hair is very oily. He really does. It looks like he needs to shampoo it.
Yeah. So it's natural oils, not a conditioner.
It might be Brill Cream. I don't know. Honey, it's the My Pillow guy.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Holly, you already have two My Pillows. I'm not getting you Giza sheets.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
All right, who do I make? I make the checkout to, what, PlayStation? All right, I'll turn it back on.
Yeah.
For Christ's
you
sake.
You know that's what it's like in their household.
Honey, I just got the visa statement. How in God's name does a yoga mat cost $150? You know, the doctor talked about this, Holly. Yeah.
Well, she's got to do her exercises at home now. Nobody would drive her.
Sorry about that, folks. Over the years, so many stories have begun with a Florida man.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Herald has done their research, and they have picked the top Florida man stories of all time.
Oh, that's a tough list.
It is. We will begin with 10 and work our way up.
Okay.
A Florida man dressed as a pirate, got arrested for firing a musket at cars on the highway.
Oh, that ain't nothing.
Florida man caught pleasuring himself with a stuffed animal at Walmart.
I think that was in Fort Myers.
Florida man got out of jail, then immediately broke into a car in the parking lot.
Lehigh Acres.
A Florida man who collected flamethrowers sets his house on fire.
Cape Coral.
A drugged-up Florida man got burned dancing nude in a fire and then fought the police.
Fort Pierce.
Florida man bit off his girlfriend's thumb during a late-night Taco Bell run.
Port St. Lucie.
Florida man tied a 12-foot alligator to a tree to keep as a pet.
San Carlos Park.
Did you see the one in Georgia?
Unbelievable!
Whew! Florida man broke into a car dealership, stole an SUV along with two televisions from the lobby, crashed through the glass doors, abandoned the SUV, and told cops he wasn't guilty because he didn't remember it.
Golden Gate.
Florida man slapped his employees with a large lizard called a bearded dragon. And number one.
Yes.
Florida man tossed a 3-foot gator through the drive-thru at Wendy's.
That's in Jupiter.
Yep. Right by the Orchids of Asia.
Yep.
And that's the news for today, Monday, March 4th.
WMXIX.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. I have no idea where to keep your volume over here. One day, it's pegged. What's going on over there?
Well, he's daydreaming about the shrimp buffet at Golden Corral.
You gotta be kidding me. Again?
He's already gone in his mind.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
We made Jason Priestley cry like a woman. And we can do the same for you if you're some sort of effeminate, drug-addled, washed-up asshole. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Poor Luke Perry.
Yeah, I know it, man. 52. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home, brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, North Fort Myers, there's a hit and run. North Key Drive at Schooner Bay, Columbia. I don't know what that is.
Well, that's a country in South America.
Thank
man.
You. Thank you, Haney. Rusty! Fort Myers.
Harley, we talked about this.
Crash.
Helen, don't interrupt me. This is supposed to be discipline.
Plantation Road and Daniels Parkway. Fort Myers crash.
All right. I'll turn the HBO back on. For crying out loud!
Landing View Road and Metro Parkway. Oh, we got one more in North Fort Myers. Crash. Right at the Caloosahatchee Bridge in North Cleveland Avenue.
What do you
Avenue.
Mean there is no higher dosing? Don't they have some sort of trials or something?
Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
My kid goes to the worst school there is. Only public school I know, the school newspaper has an obituary column. Yeah, look, the one class that teaches the kids English, I heard a teacher say, what comes after a sentence? Kid, you're making an appeal. That's where I live, in the West Side. I live in an older building. You know, I want to move out of it. My wife wants to stay there, though. My wife, she can't do nothing right. Nothing. You know? I took her to the ballet. She forgot the sandwiches. She can't cook either. The worst cook in the world. In my house, we pray after we eat. What a lousy cook. You kid, I don't think meatloaf should glow in the dark. I got the only dog. He begs for Alka-Seltzer. She can't cook at all. I need dental floss in the kitchen. The roaches hang themselves. Well, last night she gave me a steak. It still had marks when a jockey was hitting it. And then she told me to take out the garbage. I told her, you cooked it, you take it out. I tell you, my wife always gave me trouble, always. At my bachelor party, she was in the movie. It's tough to stay married. It's tough. Are you kidding? My wife, during sex, she always wants to talk to me. Yeah, the other night she called me from a hotel. I mean, sex with me, that's ridiculous. My wife makes love to me. There's always a reason for it. One night she used me to time an egg.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Here's some more bloopers from the past month.
Good evening, Mike and Tamara. So,
So that's it. We're on snow watch again.
Oh, my kids will not be happy if we don't get a good dump.
We will. I'm sure we will. Right, that's it from us. I'll be back with an update after the news at 10. Thanks for watching.
Bye-bye.
Well, we could see wind gusts up to 50 to 60 miles per hour. High wind... Where we are tracking across the Ohio Valley, baby. Starting Saturday night into Sunday, that high wind watch.
No one's making fun of you.
High wind watch.
You didn't have to do it three times.
We're going to be tracking that high wind watch in place as we go throughout Saturday night into your Sunday. High wind watch.
You've made your point.
Why is that so hard? I'm over it.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm going to play one thing that has gone viral. This will be the last thing that I play on the grab bag today. That Rami Malek, the one who played Freddie Mercury.
Oh, the one that eats babies?
Yes. Rami Malek. It's getting a lot of work now that he...
Well, he was Mr. Robot, and then he was Freddie Mercury, so...
Well, he's now doing a promotional video for compensation for a hotel chain. So he has to go on and tell you how great the hotel is. It is the Mandarin Oriental.
Is this trade because he likes staying there?
Maybe. In the promotional video, he's asked a bunch of things that he's a fan of. And when this thing was released, people that watched him do this for the Mandarin Oriental hotel chain were creeped out. He's like a stalker. He's like somebody that's, really? You sound like that? This is what you like? Everybody that's seen the video and watching him do it...
Eats babies.
It's creepy.
I'm a fan of Freddie Mercury and Queen. I'm a fan of my mom. She's got my back. I'm a fan of chamomile tea. I'm a fan of handwritten letters. I'm a fan of classic movies. I'm a fan of looking sharp, regardless of the occasion. I'm a fan of Random Encounters. What? I'm a fan of traveling by train. I'm a fan of Equal Opportunities for All. I'm a fan of mischief. I'm a fan of being exactly who I want to be. I'm a fan of Mandarin Oriental.
There are memes popping out, the creepo stuff. Let's find some laughter out of this day.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. Woo!
That has been practically no volume for 2 weeks, and I have it set so...
He didn't even know what he was hitting.
No. 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Junior.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Yep, gotta keep it way down now.
Did either of you fellows make it to church yesterday?
I did not.
Me neither.
No. Junior doesn't know what the inside of a church looks like.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the...
Top.
...reasons you did not go to church yesterday.
Top reasons you didn't go to church yesterday.
Your parents weren't visiting, so you didn't have to pretend like you still go. You don't like it there because their Wi-Fi system blocks porn.
It's true.
You voted for Hillary, so you know damn well you're going to hell. Those Instagram pics of that fancy avocado toast and bottomless mimosa brunch won't take themselves. None of your clothing is lightning proof.
God.
When you hear an organ, it stirs up memories of a bad acid trip you had at the Iron Butterfly concert.
None of that Worsey stuff. None of that Worsey stuff.
And finally, the very top reason you didn't go to church yesterday.
Yes.
All those judgmental looks you get when you take money out of the collection plate. Right, Dave?
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. I'm dying. This is gold.
Yeah.
Pure gold.
Yeah, it is.
And
that, my friend.
Is the four.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.